Hare Krishna. As I was saying, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Holy Appearance Day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form, Sri Krishna. And thank everyone for coming. We're going to sing a little song first. And it goes, Krishna, 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 Krishna. It's seven times you sing Krishna and then hey at the end. So I'll sing first, and then you can sing after me. I'm a little embarrassed to sing after Chandravali did such an amazing job doing kirtan. So I can tell you right now, my voice is nothing as good as hers. So, okay. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Paimam. Krishna, 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 Paimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Paimam. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Paimam. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Vishnupad Paramahamsa Priyajakacharya Astotada Satashishimat, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Vishnupad Paramahamsa Priyajakacharya Astotada Satashishimat, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Sri Sri Krishna Janmastami Ki. Gaur Pimanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. So, rather than maybe read from the Krishna book, I'm going to kind of tell the story, and also I want the audience to participate because I'm going to be asking some questions. So, I was thinking to maybe give a burpee to everyone that answered the question right, but we don't have any burpees, so you'll just have to answer, and you'll get the satisfaction of knowing the answer. So now, normally, probably everyone here has heard the story of how Krishna appeared. And you may think, well, I've heard that story so many times, but it's just like chanting Hare Krishna. When you chant Hare Krishna, you chant the same mantra for year after year, and you never get tired of it. So we never get tired of hearing this story of Krishna and his appearance. And every time we hear it, we make advancement. We make so much advancement just by hearing it. So thank you. So we'll start. We know that Krishna actually, he appears only one day only one time in the day of Lord Brahma. And who knows how many years does Lord Brahma, one day of Lord Brahma last? Anybody know? It's a lot. It's 4,320,000,000 years. It's just one day in the life of Lord Brahma. And then his night is the same length. So Lord Krishna actually appeared in his original form just once in like 8 billion years. So how fortunate are we that, you know, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. And you think, well, 5,000, that seems like a lot. But when you compare that to 8 billion, it's like Krishna just appeared like a month ago or so. So we are so fortunate. So we know that when Krishna appears, he appears in his original transcendental form. And all of the Vishnu avatars, they merge into the body of Krishna. We know the Leela avatars, the Yuga avatars, the Manvantari avatars, they all merge into Krishna's body. Therefore, when we worship Krishna, we're actually worshiping also all these incarnations and avatars. Because Krishna, he's the sum total of everything. So, back about 5,000 years ago, the world was really overburdened with demoniac kings. And so, the earth, the predominating deity of the earth, Bhumi Devi, she took the form of a cow, and then she went to see Lord Brahma. And so when she told Lord Brahma how terrible things were, so he, along with all the demigods, they went to a planet called Svetadvipa. And in this planet of Svetadvipa, Lord Vishnu, in the form of Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, he was lying on an ocean of milk. So they sang these songs called the Purusha Shukta prayers. And these prayers are prayers that are supposed to please Krishna. They're very pleasing prayers to him. But nothing happened. They got no response. So then Lord Brahma, he started meditating. And he received a message in his heart. He received a message from Lord Vishnu. And so that message was that all the demigods should take birth in the family of the Yadu dynasty, and they would actually assist the Lord in his mission, and then after that, the Lord himself would appear. So we know, how many know the story of Parikshit Maharaj? Everyone heard of Parikshit Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj is who Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to. And we know that Parikshit Maharaj, he had been cursed that he only had 7 days to live. So what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He didn't do like we probably would have. We tried to find some cure or some reason or whatever, or maybe make a bucket list of things we got to do for the next 7 days. No, he just wanted to hear Krishna Katha. He wanted to hear about Krishna. And so it's stated that Krishna Katha, and hearing about Krishna, it said there's three types of people that benefit from Krishna Katha. So who are one of those people that benefit from Krishna Katha? Anybody? Come on, don't be shy. It's, first of all, the speaker, and in this case, it was Sukadev Goswami. Then there's the person that inquires, that asks some submissive questions, and that was Maharaj Parikshit. And who's the third one? Third one is all of us, because we're hearing this this Srimad Bhagavatam. So we benefit so much from hearing Krishna Katha. So we know that Sukadev Goswami, he spoke the first nine cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and when he got to the tenth canto, Maharaj Parikshit was asking so many nice questions, and this really enlivened Sukadev Goswami to speak even more. And so Maharaj Parikshit was asking questions like, why was Balaram transferred to the womb of Rohini? And why, after they went through so much suffering and hardships, did Vasudeva and Devaki have to take Krishna to Nanda Maharaj? And what pastimes did Krishna perform? And why did Krishna move to Dwarka? Why did he leave Vrindavan? So there was all these different questions that Maharaj Parikshit was asking Sukadev Goswami. So he started to tell Maharaj Parikshit the story. And we know that Vasudeva and Devaki got married, and they were traveling on their chariot, and Kamsa himself was driving the chariot because he's the brother of Devaki. And in those days, it was customary to do that because the bride might feel separation from the family, so the brother would drive them. And it's said that Devaki's father, he gave a dowry of 400 elephants, 15,000 horses, and 1,800 chariots. Now, is anyone here that has a daughter that may be getting married soon or in maritable age? Anyone here? I was going to ask you, what kind of dowry are you going to give? Like this? Or this is amazing. He gave this. And also, like, a few hundred of the bride's maidservant go with her at that time. So while Kamsa was driving the chariot, all of a sudden he heard this voice from the sky, and it said, "Kamsa, you are such a fool." He said, "Don't you know that your sister, that eighth child of your sister, is the one that's actually going to kill you?" So Kamsa, being a demoniac person, he immediately grabbed the hair of Devaki, and he pulled out his sword, and he was actually going to kill her. And before he could do that, Vasudeva started to try to reason with him. He said, "Don't you understand? You're not your body. As soon as you're born, death is certain." He was giving him all these arguments, but Kamsa wouldn't listen. So finally, Vasudeva decided, "Okay, I've got to save Devaki first. Save her first, then maybe I can save the children or whatever." So he told Kamsa, he said, if you don't kill Devaki, I will give you every male child that is born to us. I'll first bring them to you." So when the first son was born, well, Vasudeva lived up to his promise. He actually brought the son to Kamsa. And so what did Kamsa do? He actually thought, "Wow, this is amazing. He actually bringing me his son, knowing that I may kill him." So he got a little soft. He said, "No, you don't, it's your eighth child, so you don't really have to, you know, bring this child to me." So then who showed up? A personality that always tries to mix things up, and Narada Muni, exactly. So Narada Muni showed up, and he wanted to speed up the time when Krishna would appear. And so he told Kamsa, he said, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, he said, you shouldn't take any chances because there's demigods being born all in the dynasty." And he said, "You know, you shouldn't take chances. You never know which one of these children may actually be Krishna." So when he said that, then Kamsa, he went and he arrested his own father. He arrested Vasudeva's father, and he threw Devaki and Vasudeva in prison. And so Kamsa was a very powerful personality. What he did was he made alliances with all the kings, other kings, or he would go and defeat them. And it's said that in each arm of Vasudeva, it was as strong as 10,000 elephants. You can imagine if you were just strong as one elephant, you'd be like a superhero today. But he had the strength of 10,000 elephants in each arm. So every year, Mother Devaki and Vasudeva, they would have a child. And Kamsa would immediately come, and he would kill that child. So I was thinking when I first read this, how is it that Narada could be so cold-hearted? You know, it seems that he's, it's not a very nice thing that he comes and he advises Kamsa to kill these sons. So you would think, why would Narada do something like this? Well, actually, Narada Muni was, he knows the past, present, and future. So you have to know the history of these six sons. So these six sons were actually, sons of Marichi, who was a son, who Brahma was his father. So Marichi was a great sage, and he had these six sons. But one day, Lord Brahma, by Yogamaya's arrangement, he was chasing his daughter. And so the boys saw that, and they laughed. So then Lord Brahma, he cursed these boys that you have to come back as demons. So then they were born to Kalanimi, who was actually the son of Hiranyakasipu. And so these boys were the grandsons of Hiranyakasipu. So one day they decided they were going to go out and do austerities, perform austerities. And when Hiranyakasipu heard that, he was such a controller that he got very angry with him. And he said, in your next birth, you'll be killed by your own father. So then in the next birth, Kalanimi became Kamsa. And now Kamsa has killed these six sons. So also, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, he describes that the symbolic message of this Leela is that these six sons of Devaki, they represent the six anarthas that we are trying to get out of our heart. And these six anarthas are lust, envy, anger, greed, arrogance, and illusion. And it says that Devaki, she represents bhakti, or love for Krishna. And Kamsa, he represents fear of the material world. And it said that when we come to the point of actually we know that we should fear this material world, then we can start to actually approach Krishna and rid our heart of these six anarthas. But who came as a seventh child? Who came as a seventh child? Balaram. So it's also pointed out that even though you're trying to get rid of these six anarthas, you need the help of a spiritual master. You have to have a spiritual master. So therefore, Balaram appeared. And then after several years, due to motherly affection by Mother Devaki, she knew that Krishna had gone and saved or rescued the son of his spiritual master. He had gone and retrieved him. So she asked Krishna, could you go and please bring these six boys back to me so that I can actually, you know, see them as a mother. So Krishna, he went to the planet of Bali Maharaj, and he brought these six boys back. And when they came back, they were like little babies, and Mother Devaki nursed them. And because Mother Devaki had actually nursed Krishna, then her milk was Maha Prasad. So these boys, as soon as they took the milk from Mother Devaki, then they again went back to their heavenly position in the planet. So actually, Narada Muni wasn't, he knew what was going to happen, so that's why he did what he did. So then Devaki, she became pregnant for the seventh time, and she became very joyful because she knew that the Supreme Lord was in her womb. And then Krishna, he instructed Yogamaya. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to transfer Lord Balaram from the womb of Devaki, and I want you to transfer her to Rohini. And Mother Rohini was also a wife of Vasudeva. Vasudeva had 16 wives. And at that time, Kshatriyas, it wasn't unusual for Kshatriyas to have many wives. And so he sent Rohini to be protected by Nanda Maharaj. So Rohini is actually the real mother of Balaram. So Yogamaya transferred Balaram to Rohini, and then Kamsa saw it that actually Devaki had a miscarriage because the child was transferred. So it seemed like that she had a miscarriage. And then when after Lord Balaram, I was going to tell a little story actually. Back when Ram and Lakshman, when they were doing their pastimes, Lakshman was the younger brother of Ram. And so because he was the younger brother, he had to listen to what Ram said. So Ram put him in some really precarious situations. Like when the golden deer came, he didn't want Ram to go and pursue the deer. But still, Ram didn't listen to him. And when you remember when Lord Ram, he would disguise himself and he would go into the crowd to see what the crowd, how the kingdom was talking about him. So he did this and he heard a man say, I would never keep a wife that has been touched by another man. And when Ram heard this, because he wanted to please the people in the kingdom, he sent Sita away. So he told Laxman, I want you to tell Sita that you're going on a vacation, you're going to go to a pilgrimage, but then as you're taking her there, then you tell her that actually she's being banished, she can't be with me anymore. So Laxman didn't like this at all, and he was driving the chariot and he was crying like everything. And so Sita said, why are you crying? You know, we're going on a pilgrimage. And he told her, no, you're being banished. Ram doesn't, want you to be around anymore. So these are the things that Laxman had to do that he didn't like doing. So he took a vow. He said, from now on, when I appear, I'm going to be Krishna's older brother. And he said, and if Krishna tells me to do something, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. So here Balaram is now Krishna's older brother. So then Krishna, he entered into the mind of Vasudev, and then Vasudev transferred into the mind and heart of Devaki. And it's pointed out that this is pointed out because we want to know that Krishna, he wasn't born like, you know, we have children and everything. He was born right from the mind of Vasudev and Devaki. And so as soon as Krishna appeared in Devaki's womb, Kamsa saw how beautiful she was. She was bright, had this effulgence, and Kamsa knew that the Supreme Personality had appeared. And so he thought, well, maybe I should just kill Devaki, you know. I should just kill her, and then everything will be through. And then he thought, no, if I do that, then all my reputation, all my all the different penances I've done and everything, it'll all be ruined. So he thought, I'll just wait till this child is born. And once this child is born, then I'll kill him. So then out of his own sweet will, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, he appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon. So it said that Krishna, when he appeared, it was a full moon. So how could it be a waning moon if it's... The answer is that actually Krishna was born in the dynasty of the moon. So when the moon was so happy that Krishna allowed him to shine full moon at that time. So Lord Krishna then he appeared to Devaki and Vasudev. And how did he appear? Did he appear as like a little naked baby, or how did Krishna appear? No, he appeared in full, we'll read how Krishna appeared. It said, Vasudev saw that wonderful child born as a baby with four hands holding conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Sri Vatsa, wearing the jewel necklace of Kastuba stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with a Vidura stone, variable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments. So if your wife was having a baby and you walked into the hospital and all of a sudden there's somebody four-handed and they got their helmet on and everything, you'd be surprised. So Vasudev and Devaki, the difference between them and Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda is that Vasudev and Devaki knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, no, they treated him just like he was their, you know, like their son. So when Krishna appeared, Devaki and Vasudev started to offer prayers to him. And so they were offering different prayers to him. And at that time, Krishna told them about their previous births. They had performed austerities for 12,000, not just our years, but celestial years. And Krishna they wanted to have Krishna as their son. So Krishna, he told them, I appeared as your son three times. And he said, this is the third time. Actually, as Krishna, it's the third time. And then Krishna, he asked Vasudeva, he said, I want you to take me to Gokul and replace me with the daughter that was born to Mother Yashoda. And then Devaki, out of fear that Kamsa was going to come and see Krishna and know that it's Krishna, she asked Krishna to turn back into a small baby. And first she nursed him, and then she Vasudeva took Krishna. And then due to the influence of Yoga Maya, all the prison guards and all the doors, the prison guards fell asleep, and all the doors opened up. So Vasudeva had, you know, he could just leave right when he wanted to. Shri Radha Kala Chandji Ki. Yeah. So even though it was a really stormy, dark night, when Vasudeva took Krishna out, it was like it was daytime. He could see because of Krishna's effulgence. And so when he got to the Yamuna, the Yamuna just parted. Like in the Bible, Moses goes and the Sea of Galilee parts. So it was pouring down rain. And so then Anatta Sesh, he came behind Vasudeva and Krishna, and he put his hoods over Krishna so that the rain and the weather didn't affect them. And when Vasudeva, when he came into Nanda Maharaja's palace, everyone there was also asleep. So he actually placed Krishna down, and then he picked up the baby girl, who was actually Yoga Maya. And it's actually said that Mother Yashoda actually had twins. She had a boy and she had a girl. And the boy was the actual Supreme Personality of God. He was actually Krishna. And the other Krishna that was born to Devaki was actually a Vishnu expansion of Krishna. And so when Vasudeva set Krishna down, he didn't see, by Yoga Maya's influence, he didn't see that the boy was there. He only saw the girl. So as soon as he put Krishna down, Krishna merged, that Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, merged into the real Shyamasundara Krishna. And it's said that when Krishna fights demons, then he becomes Vasudeva Krishna, because Krishna is just enjoying. And when he leaves Vrindavan, he also becomes Vasudeva Krishna. And the real Krishna appears in his unmanifested apricot form. But when Vasudeva Krishna comes back to Vrindavan to see the Rajvasis, then they merge back again. So Vasudeva took the girl and he went back to Kamsa's palace, and he put the chains back on him, all the doors closed, and so everything looked like he had never left. So I wanted to ask a question. Who is Krishna's real mother? How many think it's Mother Devaki is Krishna's real mother? How many think it's Mother Yashoda? Yeah. You could both be right, because you know, Devaki and Vasudeva were Krishna's parents, but Krishna's real parents are Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. They're his eternal parents. And so the next morning when Kamsa came, he learned that a child had been born. And so when he saw, as soon as he saw Devaki, he knew that she was glowing like everything. And so he walked in and she begged him, look, this is not a boy, this is a girl. And the omen said that you would be killed by the eighth child, not a girl. So she was pleading with Kamsa, but he was so demoniac that he grabbed the girl and he started to smash her down on a rock. And as soon as he did this, this was Yoga Maya, this was Durga actually, she flew up in the sky and she said, Kamsa, you fool. You don't understand that the person that's actually going to kill you has already appeared in this world. When everyone in Vrindavan learned that Krishna had been born, everyone was so happy. Everyone dressed like, everyone dressed their nice clothes, and all the Brahmins came and the astrologers, and they all came to Nanda Maharaj's palace, and they had this big celebration. And then they performed Abhishek, and that's actually the first pastime that Krishna, one of his first pastimes. And it said that actually Krishna appeared on today, but the celebration was really not till tomorrow. And so we know tomorrow is what? It's the appearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And it said Krishna arranged this because Prabhupada came from Goloka Vrindavan. And he came here to give us this Vrindavan pastimes and this Vrindavan consciousness. So we are so indebted to Srila Prabhupada. He gave us everything. I'm going to be 70 years old here pretty soon, and Prabhupada came at about that age. He got on a ship with almost no money in his pocket and just a few books, and he crossed the ocean. And I'm thinking, when they have a program in Plano, I'm thinking, well, Plano's too far. I don't really want to go all the way to Plano, you know. But Prabhupada came across the ocean, so we owe him everything, actually. And so tomorrow we'll be celebrating his appearance day. So I'm not sure how long I'm supposed to go. There's a couple of stories that we can tell. There's one, I'll let you make the choice. One is story of raining flutes raining from the sky. The other one is how Krishna got his peacock feather. So which one would you like to hear? Peacock feather? Okay. So once Krishna was playing his flute around Govardhan Hill, and he was playing so nicely that all the peacocks came out. And the peacocks were dancing, and they were like dancing. And then Krishna, when he saw them, he became enthused. So he started playing his flute even more melodious. And so when the peacocks heard that, it was driving them mad. So they were like in a circle, and they were all dancing and dancing. And then Krishna, he went to the middle of the circle, and he started dancing like the peacocks. And the peacocks were just amazed. They all stopped, and Krishna was doing his dance, and he danced and playing the flute. And then when Krishna stopped, you know, when, like, if they had the Olympics and an ice skater is out there, they do real good, they throw their flowers to him. Well, the peacocks were so enlivened that they took their feathers and they threw it to Krishna. And then the king of the peacocks came, and he asked Krishna, would you please wear this feather in your crown? So from then on, Krishna, he wore the peacock feather. Do you tell the other one about the flutes? Okay. So once Krishna had snuck into Radharani's room through a window, and they were talking. And so then Jatila, who is Radharani's sister-in-law, she heard him, and she heard Krishna's voice. And she said, I know Krishna's in there. So she went and got... it's Kutila. That's Krishna's sister. So she went and got her mother, Jatila. And she said, Krishna's in Radharani's room. So they started running down the hallway. And when Krishna heard them coming, he jumped out the window. So when they walked in, they said, you've been with Krishna. Radharani was saying, no, he hasn't been here. I don't know. So then she said, oh, look, there's a flute. Krishna had jumped out the window so fast, he left his flute. And so they said, just see. So they took Srimati Radharani out in the street, Jatila did. And she was saying, this woman is so unchaste. She's been with another man. And Radharani was just crying and crying. And all these people gathered around, you know. And all of a sudden, Yogamaya, Purnamasi, comes up. And she says, what's going on? And she said, we found Krishna's flute in Radharani's room. And we know she was with Krishna. And Purnamasi started laughing. She was just laughing. And Jatila said, well, how can you laugh? This is very serious. And Purnamasi said, don't you understand? It rained flutes last night. Instead of water, it was just flutes raining everywhere. And so when Jatila and Kutila went back into the room, there was flutes all over their room. So that's Krishna. So one more story, you think? Okay. So once Lord Balaram, he wanted to be Krishna for a day. He said, I want to see what it's like to be Krishna. So he asked Krishna, you know, can I be you for a day? And Krishna said, sure. So he gave him the crown, and he gave him his peacock feather, and he dressed like Krishna, the same colors and everything. So Balaram's walking around, and in the meantime, Kamsa had told, I guess it's Keshi demon, right? He told the Keshi demon, you go, I want you to go, and I want you to find this Krishna. And so Keshi demon comes, and Balaram's walking around like he's Krishna. So the Keshi demon comes up, and he kicks, you know how a horse kicks, really powerful. So he kicked Balaram right in the chest, and Balaram just goes flying off. So Balaram got up, and he ran back to Krishna, and he threw him the peacock feather and threw him. He said, I don't want to be Krishna anymore. So, okay, well, we'll end here. Thank you so much. Sri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai.